Je m'appelle Jean Jambon.
Ich heiße Stuart Langridge.
E questo è...
Disperado the Jack.
Central to the philosophy of open source is the concept that the more eyeballs on a problem, the more people can solve that problem, helping to distribute the solution to the wider community. We often celebrate this philosophy with code and bug fixing, but there is another area that benefits from this approach too, and it seems to get a lot less press: translations. The world is filled with a multitude of languages. Some, such as the Ethnologue, a book that details the widespread of languages in the world, suggest that there may be as many as 6,500 of those languages dotted around the world. Some would argue that this philosophy of many eyeballs in open source is going to apply pretty well to that. Now, Shot of Jack listener Busby wrote in to suggest that we discuss this topic, asking a very pertinent question. Quote, "As a rule, is the community-driven model of software development given to high-quality translations and internationalization of its applications? Large companies with lots of capital can afford to pay the best designers and translators to engineer their applications to fit a wide variety of cultures and languages. But with a community-driven model, languages are only added as the community expands to include members which desire a translated interface and have the ability to perform the translation. Is translation as needed good enough, or do we need to rethink our design methods in which internationalization is put in mind from the beginning?"
Now, you see, Busby, thank you for writing in, and you're wrong, I'm afraid, because we have a really, really, really comprehensive set of translations for open source software, or so I thought. In my head has always been the idea that the free desktop is better translated into more languages and in more detail than anything else out there. I believe that, honestly, I fervently believe this, and I went and actually looked up the numbers. And taking Ubuntu as an example, Ubuntu's got a reasonably vibrant translations community. I don't know whether it's necessarily representative, but I imagine it's reasonably close. There are not that many languages which actually have what I consider to be a reasonably comprehensive translation. I mean, if you assume that having 50% of the strings of the written stuff in your operating system, if 50% of that stuff is translated, then that counts as good. I'm not sure if it does, but assume that having 50% counts as good. There are only 28 languages available in Ubuntu with over 50% translated. And that doesn't seem that many, and an awful lot of those over 50% are quite near 50%. You know,
there
are.
Well, I think we need to put things.
I think we need to put a little bit of it in perspective, in the sense that a given language, so one of those 28 that's over 50%, as an example, one of those languages includes over 330,000 strings. So the way translations works is that you have a string such as file or connect or system or whatever you might have, and then somebody has to go into a translating tool and say that this word means this word in whatever language you're translating. So system in English means whatever it is in German. And there's 330,000 of those things for one language in Ubuntu. So if you think about 330,000 times 28... it's actually quite a lot of work.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely accept that there's a lot of work there. And it's not particularly surprising that crowdsourcing the translations hasn't necessarily given us a brilliantly comprehensive batch of languages. But I was honestly under the impression that that's exactly what it had done, that we have access to a much wider potential translations community. And I've been hearing stories for the last 15 years about how people in various countries dotted around the world are really keen on using Linux because it's available in their language, and basically Microsoft didn't find it financially viable to make a version of Windows available in Welsh or Tagalog or Klingon or whatever.
Yeah, I think it is working, but I think what we need to bear in mind is that while Ubuntu is a good example in terms of open source, it's actually a bad example in some ways, because 50% of 330,000 strings is a lot of strings to get translated. Whereas if you look at a smaller project, something such as Firefox or OpenOffice, something such as that, which is still used, designed for end users, it's easier to translate that fully than a full operating system. So I think that it is actually widely spread. Like, I remember when I worked at OpenAdvantage, we were going to be deploying Linux in a community center in Aston in Birmingham. And one of the part of the attraction towards OpenOffice was that in that area, there was 15 different languages spoken, and OpenOffice was available in all of those languages, and Microsoft Office wasn't. Because people could focus on that particular tool. Like, it's more important in the eyes of many to have OpenOffice translated into Tagalog as opposed to DD.
That's quite a valid point. When we say there are 330,000 strings, an awful lot of those strings are in, you know, XChat.
Yeah,
and,
I mean...
And it's not that big a deal. If you manage to hit the top four or five... user-facing applications and the base of the operating system itself, and possibly some of the help. At least the
introductory. That's the thing.
Help.
I mean, you'll find that in the languages that are under 50%, but are over, you know, 10 or 20%. You'll find that most of the visible strings in the desktop will actually be translated, because translation is very much you often translate what you see kind of process. And people often translate applications that they use. One of the challenges with translation, so there's a guy who works on my team who manages translations in the Ubuntu community, so I've learned a lot from him about how this kind of works, is it's really hard to define visibility. Like, it's more important that you translate strings that are always visible in an application, such as in menu bars. They're more important than, let's say, translating, you know, the 500 different error codes that an application might be able to spit out.
Right, yeah. So if you miss out on the advanced preferences dialogue in Dogtail, it's not that big a deal. If you've got the menu bar translated for OpenOffice, then you're a long way away. And that's the reason. As I understand it, the way the Ubuntu translation system works is we import translations from upstream, but there's also Rosetta, which is part of Launchpad, and people just sort of turn up and go, "I'd like to pick a string and translate it, please." Kind of like a game, almost. But
yeah, I mean,
you build a community around this kind of thing, or do you not worry about building a translations community?
Translations communities definitely flourish. I mean, we've got over 15,000 translators in the Ubuntu community, as an example, you know, who are actively working on translations. And I think what happens is a lot of people do them, for example, in loco teams, in their local user groups. But the part of the benefit of translations where you don't necessarily need to build a community is that, for example, with Rosetta, you can just go in there and say, this is the language that I know. So, for example, I've done translations in there for British English. And it sounds like a bit silly, like, oh, British English, how is that different to any other English? But there's lots of different variations in, you know, for example, how you spell the word colour in England is different to the way it's spelled in the US. And the same goes with the use of Zs in various words. But what you can do is you can just go in there and then it'll basically show you the original string, and then you just type in what the translation is, and it's simple as that. The good thing about Rosetta is that it can automatically import the template. So an application will expose, it'll say, these are the things that I need translating. Rosetta will show them in a nice, easy-to-use web form that anyone can use. And then Rosetta can also import those back into the application automatically. So it means that if you're an application developer, once you've said this needs translating, you put it into Rosetta and people can rock on it. As an example, I wrote a little app. When I wrote Learned, I put it in Rosetta and I tweeted it, and within an hour it was translated into 14 languages.
To
me shows how that can be crowdsourced.
Now, you say that, right? There was a minor furore a couple of months ago about British English translations. Things like the trash can, very US term, translated to English as wastebasket. And the problem with that is no one in England would actually refer to it as a wastebasket. That's the sort of thing that people who think that England is an Agatha Christie novel would call it, right? And yep. You know, actually, in England, you call it a bin. And what worries me about the translations, I don't speak any other languages well enough to understand the nuances in the language, but it would be really interesting to find out whether the translations into other languages really are the actual appropriate words. Having seen the British English words, they tend to skew a little bit towards 1950s BBC English rather than the English spoken on the streets in Manchester. And do you have exactly the same problem in other languages as well?
Yeah, I think you have exactly the same issue. Like, some languages don't actually have a word to describe a specific thing. You know, like when someone speaks Spanish and you say, what did you just say? And they'll say, oh, there's no literal English translation.
Yeah.
So you'll say, okay, what's Spanish for, you know, someone will say something and they're thinking it's a cat flap, but there's no English translation to cat flap. It is the door in which the cat walks into the house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you face the same thing. Translation's actually really hard because communities build these word lists where they develop common words to describe these things. And it can be really hard. It's the same with icons, you know, making icons to describe something like a save icon. Everyone uses a floppy disk, but no one uses floppy disks anymore. So
you see, this then skews background to Busby's original question. Translation is a hard job, but there are people who do this stuff professionally. They translate books, for example, into other languages, which is, to some extent, harder than translating the word IRC into British English. Translating an entire book and keeping the feel of it into another language is a really hard job, but there are professionals. So if you are a company building proprietary software and paying a translator to do the work into a specific nominated language, are you going to get a better product than the crowdsourced open source version of doing it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think the thing is as well is that translations for companies is astronomically expensive. Like, I mean, you know, using Ubuntu as an example, Canonical, to my knowledge, I don't think we've paid anybody to do any kind of translations into Ubuntu for Ubuntu. I don't think we've paid anyone. So we've got 28 languages in which Ubuntu is translated into. You know, that's like literally millions of strings, millions of actual translations across these languages, and we haven't paid anyone. That's millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of translations. And so that's crowdsourced, you know, whereas companies and a proprietary product would have to pay for all that themselves, and it's incredibly expensive. That's the reason why Microsoft always struggled, because they'd only translate if there was business demand. So that's where I think there's some real value in communities doing it.
Do you think it's reasonable to say that if you pay a translator, you will get a better and more comprehensive translation, but that it costs a great deal of money and therefore you end up limiting the number of languages you can do it into?
I think that if you pay a translator, you may get a better quality, but yeah, you limit what you can do. I see translations in exactly the same way I see code. Like, the first cut of the code is often good, but not brilliant. And then when people go in and review it, they fix all the problems. So a first cut of a translation is often a bit ropey in areas, and people go in and they fix them. And translations evolve like that. And that tends to be what happens.
Excellent. So we'd love to hear what you think. Do you listen to Shove Jack in another language? Do you use your operating system, your applications, in a different language, in a different localization? Is the quality of it actually any good? Have you worked with translations in the past? You can get in touch with us. Go to shopjack.org, where you heard this shot, and leave your comments there.
And not only that, but you can contact us over Twitter and Identica and even over email as well. And if you want to find out how you can do that, go to shotofjack.org/discuss.
And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.